Good evening, everyone. And it is Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, and this is the place that stuff happens on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And this particular trend happens to be the ABD guidebook by E.J. Gold. And we're investigating this particular book after we have just spent the last 62 prior weeks to that on the red ABD, which Pat's going to hold up right now. And we did that. And now we decide we wanted to keep in the vein of it. And it was really an important choice, I think. And that's because E.J. was, in a sense, writing both of these at the same time. He was taking two profoundly different approaches to the material, but we're seeing how they blend together as well. And the American Book of the Dead guidebook, the ABD guidebook, is broken into three parts, and we're studying the middle part, which is the various books of the dead. And we've gone through a number of them, and tonight we're going to be going through the eighth book, and we're going to get a feel for what that particular name of God is, along with the material that is within it. And I don't know all the time whether what the right thing to do is. All I know is that I think it's a good idea to work ourselves through this material. That's what we're doing, and that's okay. All right?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. And so we're just working through the books. We're going to speed it up a little bit because of format that we had before, which was groups getting together to study and then present it, doesn't seem to be working for a lot of people. So we'll just lead it for the next few weeks, go through the book so everybody has a chance to be exposed to that particular aspect of the 99 names of God and the resultant transit material under that particular chapter. Does that make sense? Is that okay? To you, Pat?
Sure.
Ivan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dan, whatever works.
Do we have anybody online yet tonight?
Yes.
Five people. So that's
great.
Just what happens. So anyway, without further ado, if there's no other conversation, do you want to just get started on the next book, Pat?
The book, the eighth book of the dead, called the Book of Ul-Aziz, is one that we've spent a little bit of time on in our subgroup. We don't have a presentation per se this evening, but Tom is with us. And Tom, you will put your two bits forth as you see fit. Just speak in loud and clear so we know to give you the space. We're going to start out by doing the reading of this book. And I'm going to ask Ivan to begin with one. And we'll go around the circle. And that would mean Ivan would be first and followed by me, and then David. And then Tom, if you're reading along with us, you would be the fourth person reading. Are you reading with us tonight, Tom?
Yep, I can do that.
Perfect.
Okay,
thank you.
Your voice sounded good.
That was good. All right.
Yeah.
The eighth book of the dead, called the Book of Ul-Aziz. It is I whose importance is undeniable, on whom the need is great. And it is toward me that the approach is nearly impossible. These are my three attributes, and if any one of these is not present, then it cannot be given the name of Ul-Aziz.
Many things in existence are rare, but their importance is not undeniable. And they are not absolutely necessary, nor are they absolutely useful. And there are many things which are very necessary and important, but not nearly impossible to approach. And so they are not Ul Aziz.
Three, the world is undeniably important and the need for it is great, but it can be easily approached, and so it cannot be called Ul Aziz.
Four, the purpose is that two again. Four, perfection in rarity returns one.
Hey, Tom?
Tom?
Yes.
You need to speak more directly into the microphone like you are when you answer, when you say yes. Whatever you're doing when you say yes is the one we want you to use so that we can hear all of the sounds that you're making with the reading, okay? Start again, please.
Four. In rarity, return to God alone. For one is the least, and only God is absolutely unique. The urgency of the need for the Lord is that everyone and everything requires God for its existence and for continuation and for their qualities or attributes.
Absolute necessity does not exist completely except for most holy Lord. He is
six. He alone knows himself. There is no one and nothing else which is comparable to him.
Seven. And so these are the instructions for the fifth day of the breaking apart of the five elements of consciousness into the forms of the guides.
Eight. And this day, the primal form of the element earth shall appear before you. And a light from the world of jealous gods shall also appear to you at the same time.
Nine. Now is the time to listen carefully and without distraction to these instructions for your salvation and liberation. Ten. Now, on this day, the primal form of the element of concept shall appear before you within the guide, and he shall be as the green guide, the unborn balancer of almighty power.
11. And he shall be seated before you, and within him you shall see also the Divine Mother, the Faithful One, surrounded by a rainbow of light.
12. And the primal element of consciousness, which is concept, shall shine as the green light of wisdom, and it shall be transparent and clear, radiant and brilliant to you, and it shall appear both beautiful and terrifying.
13. And out of the heart of the guide shall come a brilliant green radiant beam of light, and it shall strike you in your own heart, and you shall seem as if struck by the blow of a dart.
14. Now you must remain in a state of indifference to it and to all that is happening to you. And there should be no fear, but instead there should be joy in the grace of the Lord that He brings salvation to all.
And with the brilliant green light of the ray of grace coming from the heart of the guide, there will also be a soft red light which comes from the world of the jealous gods.
16. And this world is made by the tendency to feel envy and jealousy toward another, and the habitual desire to create intrigue between others.
17. And the brilliant green light shall come to you and burn away your jealousy and your envy, and you may feel fear and terror, and you may seek refuge in the soft red light. But if you take refuge in the soft red light, you will be reborn in the world of jealous gods.
18. And so you must recognize the brilliant green light as your salvation, and allowing the brilliant green light to free you of your envy and jealousy, be lifted up and enter into the kingdom as pure, clear light.
19. And he who takes refuge from the brilliant light shall be with it always, for one cannot take refuge from one's own nature.
20. Now it is vital that you do not drift away into the soft red light of the world of the jealous gods. The light of that world is the accumulated light of intense jealousy and envy?
21. And he, that becomes attracted to the soft red light, he shall be born into the world of the jealous gods, and he shall be compelled to protect himself by intrigue and argument.
22. But he that allows his envy and jealousy to be stripped away by the cleansing green light, he shall be lifted up and he shall be saved.
23. And this is the prayer which you should pray with me.
Alas, when wandering in the world of illusion, because of the power of intense envy and jealousy, on the path of light of wisdom, may I be led by the guide of the transit world.
25. May the Divine Mother be my protector. May I be led safely through the danger and confusion of the transit world, and may I be placed in the state of the pure and shining void.
26. And he that has prayed sincerely and with humility, he shall be one with the heart of the pure and shining void, and he shall be placed in the realm of the kingdom through his perfected action. This completes this reading of the eighth book of the dead, called the Book of Ul Aziz. So before we get into any bits and pieces that we might wish to offer you in particular, does anybody have any response to this particular reading this evening and what occurred or did not? And what you observed or did not? I'd especially like to hear about what did not occur and what you did not observe. Facetiously speaking.
Well, I've accumulated a list of everything that I didn't observe.
Thank you.
But
and you can turn it in at the end of the class.
Yeah. Right?
Anybody speaking up? Because I don't want to launch in all by my lonely.
Hey, listen, I'll just throw in 2 cents here.
Nice! Overdale.
You know, that's right. Throw a little bourbon into the mix here. I couldn't help but notice that on this fifth day, with the breakdown of consciousness, we're dealing with the fifth element, which is the concept, which is the element of concept. And so, as I've often reflected on, so much of our self-identity is a product of the various concepts that we either inherit or accumulate along the road, and ultimately becomes just our ordinary consciousness. And so when we're introduced to Ul Aziz, who basically seems to be the uncreated, really, the uncreated is speaking to us in one aspect of his totality. And so for myself, one of the exercises I might draw out of this for myself is to the degree that I'm able to substitute the idea of the uncreated existing by necessity with my own accumulated concepts of a historical personality, learning how to make that substitution, I think, is an important part of this book of the guide.
What substitution?
Oh, well, just substituting our crystallized concepts about ourselves and the world, the dream that we're participating in, with, remember, we're trying to develop a body of habits, right? Conscious habits that become automatic. And so one of those habits might be to see ourselves as to see our Voyager as uncreated, which is what old Aziz seems to be describing.
Okay.
I was interested in knowing what the name Ol Aziz translates as in the 99 names. Does anybody have that?
One of the suggested lists from the web is Enduring Truth. Enduring Truth.
Yeah. There were a number of things. The Watcher was another one that came up. And there is a list of I broke out a special page on the wingsofchaos.com that just has the 99 names on it.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, so if you go there, you'll see under ABD Guidebook, you'll see the 99 names. And it has in that list, it just has one particular name attribute for each name. But on many of the sites, there are multiple attributes. Dan, is it easy for you to call up the email I sent out? Yeah, because I put a few of them in there, too.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to I'll throw my little kink on this particular book.
Good.
Because of the name, Ol Aziz, especially if you imagine holding up a very large, shiny, reflecting object such as a mirror, and you put Bruce Willis and that other actor in there, and you look at a movie called Fifth Element.
Uh-huh.
The segment where there is a occurrence of something on Earth, one of the young acolytes says, Aziz, the light!
Right.
And the guide that shows up, the name of the guide in the movie is Fifth Element. The fifth element is the one that allows the unfolding of the story to take place in several layers of time and several different dimensions of activity. Forget the name of the lady who played it. Thank you. So when you have something that is manifest on a screen that your brain watches and puts little pieces, I'm going, oh, right, this is just exactly what Silverdale was talking about. My conceptualizations start putting little pictures or little associations, and I get this construct. And so I took the data that's presented in this text and said, what is it that we know for a fact about the breaking apart of the fifth element of consciousness, which is concept? One is that it's green. One is that it's a guide. Another is that it's a balancer. Another is that it has the Divine Mother. It has wisdom. It has the ray of the grace of the Lord. It has salvation as what it delivers. And if you read the last line of this chapter, it says that perfected action is what we are attempting to do. So the steps that are being described in the text deliver the information about what options are available if you end up in this chamber, which you are, or you may not be aware that you are, but you are always in a chamber of this kind or another.
Correct.
So the instructions to be indifferent or to be, to take perfected action is to fulfill the three attributes that are listed that Ul Aziz is defined as in the very beginning, which is undeniable?
Importance is undeniable.
Well, you know, it's interesting because that first, he says, these are my three attributes.
Three attributes.
But it says, hang on, I think I got it.
Three?
No, on paragraph one, it says, it is I whose importance is undeniable,
right.
One, and upon whom the need is great, two,
mm-hmm.
And it is toward me that approach is nearly
impossible.
So those are the three
That's
attributes
right. yep.
that if you don't, that if
they're not there,
they're not there, it ain't him.
Not all of these.
He just says, well, then it's not me.
That's right.
That's all.
It's a beautiful definition description by placing the light on the shadow and drawing the picture behind you like you do when you're in kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
And you get that picture of the outline, which is created by shining a light towards it. So we shine that light on it, and what are you going to get? You're going to get the negative space that is there, the description of what is not there. If it's not this, and it's not this, and it's not this, I'm not there. I'm not present.
Were you going to say something about that, Ivan?
Yeah, I was going to say that it seems to me, following on what Silverdale was speaking of, that seems to suit very well with concept, the element, with the element of concept, and this particular example, which is to say that the world doesn't qualify. In other words, the tangible, the experienced world, let's say, or the material world, or the world of time, is not Ul Aziz. It's the watcher, you said. It's that which is outside of that, of the world, and it's much less accessible.
Great point, Ivan.
And it also goes, I really like that comparison with the fifth element, because in fact, I don't know if everybody listening has seen that movie, but the fifth element that was needed was to save thee, was for the salvation of the earth, and the fifth element was both absolutely needed. It was the fifth element was undeniably important. It was the sine qua non. Without the fifth element, death, destruction. That was it. Everything was over. The need was obviously great, and in fact, a great deal. And then the third part, a great deal of the plot was having to do with this idea of that the divine was incarnated, so she was in fact very unapproachable.
Exactly.
Nearly impossible to approach, except by Bruce Willis, of course.
Well, except if you remember in the beginning of that particular movie, and this may be stretching the metaphor far too much, but when he finally takes her to the priest, Ian Holm, and he puts her on the couch, and then he kind of leans over,
yeah,
to give her a peck on the cheek, she puts a gun to his head, says, no, you're not supposed to do that, and
yeah,
doesn't allow him to, you know, so he denies.
And the priest has pronounced, she's perfect. She's perfect.
Yeah. So, so there's those elements of it. Those are very, very interesting. Go ahead, Ivan, you have more to say.
I'm curious about, I wonder if you did any research or looked into any more about this green guide, because I feel that green guide has a lot of stuff going with it, and it's that one I have a little more trouble putting together with concept.
Something that you should mention
Okay.
But there will be, hopefully, some manner in which we can link the Green Guide comic story strip that was created by the LRS group 15, 16 years ago, Fred, the San Francisco Bardo group, and it is on the website. It's just hard to see. I sent you a link. It's the...
Recently?
No, when we started into book four. I mean book eight. So, what, 2 months ago. slimeworld.org, LRS, and then you go looking around there and you see a comic version of the ABD. And it is the research into the green guide of concept, of wisdom, of this particular chamber from the red ABD that we worked on. And it's got to be, who was the lady who said before?
Rose.
The painter, Rose.
Yeah. So there's like, it's images and,
This doesn't have anything to do with the green llama beer, does it?
No.
Oh,
okay.
So sorry.
So I think the one thing I wanted to, the thing that impacted me most about this.
Yes.
Is not that idea. The idea is a concept. I get it. I mean, it's very compelling to me what you're saying, both of you and George. But it so clearly sets out kind of the task of this chamber, where he says, there's the dazzling green light. It does this. Or there isn't. There's this refuge.
Mm-hmm.
That's your work.
Mm-hmm.
You either get cleansed of that or you don't. There's not like a lot of in between, and then you get reborn into the world of the jealous gods.
I would like to say that I believe that red light is quite ever present. Is, you know, it's quite easy of access. I think it's very easy to slip into that.
I don't know that.
Backbiting. I'm talking about the being competitive, backbiting, people set against one another. Yeah, there's just so
intrigue
many.
Intrigue and argument.
Yeah, intrigue and argument. It's so, I mean, I haven't been with your discussions here, and in fact, I just read this. I read this today, you know, once to be prepared for this, but it struck me right away that I've been experiencing this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no, I've been noticing, I've been catching myself. It's like there is a habit. I mean, I think that it's like, it's either a mental habit or a part of your character or something like that, that I, you know, I've seen it as a very mechanical tendency to do this, what it's talking about here.
Get sucked into
to be like, it's like without thinking about it at all, you're
involved.
You're provoking someone, or you're bringing up conflict, you're bringing out conflict instead of
defending yourself.
Collaboration.
Okay, let's look at that for a minute.
That's great.
Okay, so let's just say in the world we're sitting there and we're being hit by the mystical concept called the dazzling green light. Okay? That's hitting us, and it presumably is cleansing the concept, the jealousy and intrigue that's within us. Envy and jealousy, right?
Yeah.
That pain of doing that, of that cleansing, are we in a moment, and this is my question, are we in a moment of recognition, but then the pressure of that is so great that we look for refuge in the red, soft red light of gossip and intrigue and so on. Does this make sense? In other words, I don't want to make, maybe this is occurring on such a subtle level that it's not like then there's a giant green light and then there's a soft red light. It's these moments I think you're talking about, I wonder what happens just before we get sucked into the intrigue.
Well, the description in the text says, you shall seem as if struck by the blow of a dart. That's the green light. And the next line says, now you must remain.
That's my point.
In a state of indifference.
Indifference even to your own self.
Even to it and all that is happening around you. The instruction says now. I've learned, anytime it says now, that means in this moment, right now, you cannot be reactive to the green light or the red light. Either one.
Well,
the red light is the attractant, sort of like the comfortable one.
Well, that's how you relieve the pressure of the dart.
Is
the dart hits you. I think life gives us the dazzling green light all day long in different forms, and we seek refuge in the soft red light just because it's easier. It's easier. It's better than a dart.
Yeah, that's sort of what I was getting at, easier or habitual. I mean, it's like it's something that you slip into, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I was thinking that, again, I've missed a lot of your discussions, but it strikes me that maybe this is reversing the order or something, but if I catch myself doing this thing with the, you know, provocative angel, what is it called, the angry ghost, I mean, or whatever it is, the argument thing, it's like, it seems like what I need for an antidote is to take a breath and just back off from it, to relax out of it, and this would be inviting the green light, you know, or allowing for the green light
to
irradiate myself, to trying to think of what the relationship with the red is, it's to recognize the red, right? It's to identify, I'm seeing that recognizing it would be the first
it's described as
action.
Something that you can get away into as if, you know, you were just not paying any attention.
That's the thing. I think Pat's got it. It's you drift. I think you're hit by the green light because you have a moment of being able to cleanse intrigue and, what was the other word?
Envy.
No. Pat had the, something and intrigue.
Argument.
Argument and intrigue. You have a way that you're being cleansed from that, and then you seek refuge in the soft red light. So, I guess what I'm saying is, if we get sucked into this refuge of the soft red light, can we observe what was going on in us just before then? You see what I'm saying? Isn't that interesting?
Well, I think there is a response to your question in this text.
Go for it.
Verse 4 says, perfection in rarity returns one to God alone. That's verse 4. That's after the three descriptions of the attributes of Ul-Aziz.
Good.
Then the thing says
good.
Perfection. The last line says,
And
he shall be placed in the realm of the kingdom through his perfected action.
So if I can keep myself...
Exactly.
Oh, here's an interesting thing. If I can keep myself in the radiation of the dazzling green light, I... won't, it's nearly impossible to approach.
Yeah.
Not impossible, he says
nearly,
nearly impossible.
Yeah.
If I can stay there and not leave through the soft red light, maybe I'll find the last line in the paragraph that Pat's telling us about. It's the perfection of grace. This is grace being...
Exactly.
Grace is not easy. It's not...
No, grace is not release. Grace
correct.
Is not giving it up. Grace is not making it all smooth and cozy.
No. And that's the pressure that we can allow ourselves to be part of. It'll be interesting to observe this now.
Actually, yeah, this finish here is really actually becoming more and more striking. And he shall be placed in the realm of the kingdom through his perfected action. So this starts out saying, and he that has prayed sincerely and with humility, he shall be one with the heart of the pure and shining void. But it's suggesting that the outcome, I think what it is, the outcome is not that I am in a state, it's that I act in perfection.
Yeah.
Yes.
In this case.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that that's very interesting. I think that's really interesting because it's talking about, I think it's what the Buddhists call right action. This is perfected action, but you know that it's, let's say that it's not enough just to cultivate the being, let's say to cultivate Buddha nature or whatever. If you're in the world, it's also necessary to exhibit or let's say, go towards right action or
How do you behave with right action? Perform when you're up against it.
Yeah, well, that's a good question.
Talking about
yeah,
we can use right action, but he says it right here.
Well, I'm thinking that it's say, whatever it is that I do, I invoke presence, I pray to the Great Mother, I seek out this green guide or whatever it is that I've done. But I mean, it's like saying that the outcome, then what? You know, it's like, what's the answer to the question, then what?
Well, you start to feel, I think I feel jealousy and envy all day long. I think it's just coming day in and day out. It's just these different things occur. Why am I not like that? Why am I not like this? And I particularly have a tendency then to want to gossip about someone that I feel envy about. I mean, that's how it works. So what do I do? What's my action? That last line that you just read, you know, can I act in that way? Led by...
Well, let's say he shall be one with the heart of the pure and shining void.
Yeah.
Okay. Say, like, I have the idea, you know, after reading, is it safe placed?
No. Go ahead. No.
Oh, no. I mean, after so many readings of American Book of the Dead, right, and so on, that I'm looking to shun or, let's say, steer away from the smoky lights, you know, the murky or smoky or the lights that are gateways to some rebirth or to some realm where I don't want to go. And I'm looking to merge with the clear light, with the void and so on. And I always think of that as a state of being or a state of consciousness. All right. I mean, you know, as that the outcome is a change of state or a change of beingness. But anyway, I just think this is rather unusual, I think, compared to the Red Book.
I'm going to offer one
more
from our work. And Tom, anytime you want to pick up this theme here and put in there with it, be cool.
Do you have something?
Dan.
Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, good time.
So we have some comments from Lara34.
Oh, good.
I am interested in if all radiations are the same, or are there different ways of recognition of intensity or just color? I can somewhat get what a soft radiation is, sensation or feeling, cleansing radiation.
Is that it? So we'll work with her question for a minute. So, okay, there's theory, this idea, the theory of a dazzling green light.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of have like a image of that in my brain, you know, like, ooh, Dazzling green light.
Yeah, yeah, like kind of like a zapper.
Like a zapper. It's electrical. It's hot. It's yucky or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hard, difficult. But what if it takes a different form? What if this dazzling green light is actually the moment that I feel jealousy for somebody or envy? What if that moment of transition is a transitory moment right then where can I hold myself and say, notice, I am feeling envy toward that.
So you're saying the moment at which you receive the thrust of the radiation is the moment in which you have the option to accept or reject the cleansing radiation. Is something like that?
I'm saying that, so let's say I feel jealous of that fish over there because
okay.
It can swim so well.
Right.
I mean, it does swim pretty really nicely,
yeah,
actually.
Really.
A lot better than I can swim.
Fish.
But let me tell you about this fish. It's real life. Okay. So I'm just saying that if I notice myself in impartiality, which I think you brought up, as being in jealousy at that moment or envy,
mm-hmm.
that is, in fact, I'm saying, that is the dazzling green light.
The noticing of it is
just
the dazzling green light.
And it goes, oh,
mm-hmm.
I'm a jealous person.
Mm-hmm. I get you.
I'm an envious person. And now if I just indulge in envy and jealousy, then what I normally do is I go to the refuge of the soft red light,
mm-hmm.
and I go, did you see what he did?
Right. You fulfill the impetus that you had.
I take refuge from the, I'm the one that's envious. I'm the one that's jealous. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, nobody wants to be envious. You know, it's like you notice yourself as an envious person or a jealous. You
yeah.
don't want to be that person, but if you hold yourself there for a moment longer, there's a cleansing element that occurs through the incredible transformational effect of the gentle placing of attention on it. And by that I mean like a soft hand coming to caress it. And you place your attention on the fact, I am envious. I am an envious. Look, there it is. I don't turn away from it for that moment. That burns me.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm the only one that's envious and jealous now that I can see and look around me.
You'd be going over green there.
Ay, ay, ay. Go ahead, Dan.
I just, when I see this reference to the green guide, it makes me think of there's a character in Sufi stories who always shows up when there's some sort of, when a Sufi is in danger of some kind, and usually steps in to help in some way, but usually in a way that he can't be recognized.
Yeah, okay. I'm just saying that maybe the dazzling green light looks a little bit different than a dazzling green light. Maybe I'm sitting there looking for a giant spotlight that's green.
Yeah, like I see those often when driving in my car.
Yeah.
But maybe I'll think of this book now when I'm driving. You know.
But maybe the character and nature of the dazzling green light is the me holding myself in a particular space rather than allowing myself to take refuge in this.
Yeah, which is to say that the radiation of the green light, the cleansing radiation, you're talking about that being like a metaphor. or a, let's say, it's something that could be, could have a number of different forms, or maybe an unlimited number of forms,
but
in order to strike you like a dart.
Like,
well, how about like a dart?
I mean,
that's a form.
If you find yourself actually notice that you're jealous or envy, that feels like you're struck with a dart right then. I mean, it hurts to know that you're an envious person or a jealous person.
Yeah, but, you know, so I'd like to point out something else, David, which is also at the very near the end of this book, where it talks about the prayer, you know, which again is sort of very similar to the Red Book, to the American Book of the Dead. But alas, when wandering in the world of illusion, because of the power of intense envy and jealousy, okay, now that could describe anyone, right? On the path of light of wisdom, okay, for you to have this response that you're having, I believe that that is another way. This is like a analogy or a metaphor to say that is somebody who's on the path of the light of wisdom, because you're not just wandering in the illusion. You're recognizing. You're having recognition factors. You're recognizing signs and signposts.
Well, I noticed that in me, there's two things that occur. If I start to feel jealousy, then I just shut down that recognition. I just buffer it away. That's mostly what happens. Or I can stand in it for a minute and I go, gosh, I'm a jealous person because of that. And I think just before that in 22, it says, he that allows his envy and jealousy to be stripped away by the cleansing green light shall be lifted up and he shall be saved. All that it requires is the beauty, the radiation of our own attention. If I put my attention on how jealous I am of that fish, it goes away.
So you could think of that as the green radiation, or as partaking of the green, the green light.
Find that the dazzling green light maybe isn't like a big spotlight. That's a big green spotlight. It's this function that it goes on, because I think this happens all the time. What this book is talking about. You do this, and then you go into the refuge of the red light. Da-da, soft red light. Da-da, soft red light. And now, listening to you guys, I got a tangible sense of what it means to take refuge. It's the argument and intrigue. That's what it means. I took refuge in the soft red light. Mm-hmm. Interesting, huh? Scary.
Well, you know, another way to say it is that, I fell into my old habit. I fall into my habits.
Then you'll be reborn in the world of jealous gods. That's what it's instructing.
Yeah.
Says that.
To in a moment on Laura 34's question about radiations and whether there are different intensities or how that can be addressed. One of the places I went with this text was the idea of gemology, and that there are known recognizable scales of brilliance, rarity, clarity, hardness, fierceness in a certain way of gems. That's how they're graded, to have a scale. And a gem is a form of, in my understanding, a gem is a form of collected light, you know, carbon or whatever. And when we look at the color scale, we look at the color chart, and we see this, you know, the typical rainbow loss of color from one end to the other, and we're looking at a variation in what our eyes are seeing and perceiving as a color. If you would merge the quality of a gem as a stone and expand that out to the concept of it being a universe, so you are engulfed and participating in the universe as that stone with its brilliance, its color, its
mm-hmm.
hardness, its
That's right.
depth. So the radiation of various stones or various colors can be also felt as if it's one whole thing. They do that in some of the color healing chakra charts.
Mm-hmm.
Chakra charts? Anyway, you know what
That's
I'm saying.
Important.
You have those seven chakras and the colors that heal them or the colors of those chakras. And if you try and just do it as a color picture, kind of like, you know, this color, this color,
uh-huh.
this color, it's separating it from its surrounding atmosphere. You're removing it from its context. The context is the whole thing is that.
Uh-huh.
And so what you have is you have a living, breathing, more than four-dimensional experience of something. Call it color, call it radiation, whatever you want. That's what the impact is of something by definition, which is being described as an element of consciousness, because we're describing the breaking apart of the five elements of consciousness. That's what these radiations come from. So that's another way of looking at it. Ascribe some other correspondence to radiations, and you get an overlay of two or three different things. We could also do tones. I could do it on the musical
right.
scale. So you just don't want to have it as a, you don't want to have it as the tool. You want to have it as the
radiance,
as the canvas. You know, it's not just this little bit. It's the bigger bit. Anyway,
I guess. Well, let me ask Laura 34. She said that she did recognize the soft red light, I believe. I heard that right.
I thought I heard that, yeah.
What is that? First of all, how do you recognize it? What's the manner in which you recognize
mm-hmm.
that light? Because I have another comment. Go ahead.
Yeah, get an answer and then we'll go forward.
Did I get it right, Dan, and that is what she said?
She said, I can somewhat get what a soft radiation is.
Good. Good. So I'm asking now, what is that? When you say, I get that, what is, in what manner, which, can you describe that a little bit? Something occurs and you say, oh, that's the soft radiation,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
I guess what I'm saying is that I think that the dazzling green radiation is holding yourself in that place of recognition.
Mm-hmm.
That, in fact, is that, and if you can do that, you can be saved, and you shall be saved.
Laura says, I have felt harsh radiation in my body,
yeah,
and also a soft radiation in my body. I cannot distinguish color.
I don't know that. That's I understand that too, and I don't either. But that's why I'm saying that for me, the practical solution for me is that dazzling green radiation is whatever that feeling is that I'm feeling when I recognize myself as being an envious and jealous person and I hold it. That, to me, I'm saying, equals dazzling green radiation.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. Curious, huh?
Yeah, I'd just like to repeat that I would call that being in the world of illusion, but on the path of the light of wisdom.
It is the path.
What you're describing.
If I can stay there.
If you muster that attention, if you can have that, and that consciousness, yeah.
Really see that that's who you are and how you are, that's hard. So I don't feel it as green. I feel it as the sensation that occurs when those elements are around.
Yeah, well, I see we're out of time tonight, but I think Pat, I would like to say that I thought that Pat opened up a whole other area of discussion, which may or may not be relevant to this book, which is about archetypes,
yeah.
About the, you know, what is, in what way are the colors icons or archetypes of something? And that's, because I just happen to know, this is a slight tangent, but, in order to put together a performance of poetry, I happened to come across a poem that's called Emerald Poem by a woman, American woman poet, who's died now, a very fine poet. But I was absolutely stunned by this poem, and I can bring it next week or something, and read, or am I going to miss next
Emerald.
Week? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's called Emerald Poem, and the thing is, there's something very archetypal about it. It's very mystical and ethereal, and the associations with emerald are of this similar to the pure and shining void or the perfected action. It suggests the whole set of associations with emerald are of like of tranquility and a very high state of being. You know, that's
but
all.
You can hold yourself in the dazzling green radiation. That's the prize. That's the prize.
Yeah, right. The emerald, just the light. The light, the radiation, the healing qualities, the beingness, and so on, associated with emerald, which happens to be green. Yeah, I don't know. I that appealed to me. That whole set of associations.
Yes. There's a lot in that, and yeah, we could take a look at that in some of our future texts.
And we will.
Some of that will come up just by itself. I want to remind our listeners. Our participators, that when you go online and listen to the versions of tonight's event, or look at the website that David prepares every week for us, there's places to add commentary.
Yeah.
And commentary is very helpful because it gives the feedback about whether the direction that's being taken is a useful one, a helpful one, or, leaves you cold, or you don't have any reference to it, or whatever. And it would be very useful at this point, since we're making a shift and an adjustment in the manner in which we're progressing through the rest of the text, that we get feedback about how people are seeing where we're at. And that would be useful and helpful, and we would appreciate it very much.
Pat, you're saying write these comments down as part of the recording tonight in that comment block below?
That would be helpful.
Okay.
Or you could send them as a private email.
And I can post it if you.
And it doesn't make a difference which method you use. If you want to say something and not have it read by everybody, that's okay.
Just send it to us.
Just send it to us separately. But
thank you.
We can post it
down.
For you.
Oh,
or
great.
Just,
okay.
Yeah.
Just open
either
up
way.
A conversation. So that pretty much concludes tonight.
Definitely.
And next week we're going to move on to the transitional book.
Yes, we are.
And we'll take that up again. next week then at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night.
That's it.
Thank you for coming.
We'll see you all next week.
Thank you, Ivan. It's wonderful to have you back.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Thank you, Overdale.
Thank you, George.
Yep. Good to see you three.